Good morning. Turn that way a little bit. You'll hear me better. I hope everybody's doing okay. I don't know about you. I am already tired of waking up while it is dark. It's not my favorite thing at all. But I am glad that you stuck with it and made it here. My message this morning is entitled Mental Health Myths and Being Umbrella Bearers. So yesterday was the last day of Mental Illness Awareness Week. So at the beginning of that week, when I was planning on what to talk about today, I decided that mental health was a natural choice. Now, sadly, I actually doubt that many churches are talking about it today. After all, even though society is increasingly becoming more comfortable with the subject, not to mention somewhat more knowledgeable about it, it still tends to be, well, somewhat of a taboo subject. However, for me personally, it's a reality that I'm confronted with on a daily basis. I mean, I've shared with you before that I have major depressive disorder and generalized anxiety disorder. And no matter how well any of my given days go, each morning and each night, my pills remind me that I have mental disorders. But for me, it isn't just important to talk about the issue. It's essential. Because education is a key way to help society become more comfortable with and understanding of mental health disorders. Now, ironically, one of the main days that I had scheduled for writing this message, I woke up in a pretty severe anxiety attack. Well, it was Mental Illness Awareness Week, and I have to tell you, that day I was very aware of mental illness. It's not that I had anything to be anxious about. That's really not how anxiety disorder tends to work. It's that my head was telling the rest of my body that in spite of the fact that there was nothing to be anxious about, we had something to be very anxious about. And the head, being the head, the rest of the body, believed and followed. I spent most of the day with a racing heart, a general feeling of dread, feeling exhausted yet unable to sleep, and even the most mundane tasks at times felt overwhelming. Sounds like fun, huh? Now, I talk about these kinds of things openly because despite society's increasing understanding and acceptance of those of us with mental disorders, the stigma associated with them is still very much a reality. So much so that the National Institute of Mental Health felt the need to develop a new term for the stigma. It is now called sanism. Just like racism or sexism, sanism is a form of oppression and discrimination. And just like all the other isms, it is a social justice issue. Now, at the core of the necessity for social justice is two related things. One, love, and two, a recognition of our connectedness to each other. Now, interestingly enough, I would argue that those two things are at the core of most major religions as well as the core of humanism. Now, with that in mind, let's spend a little time looking at some of the common misconceptions about mental health issues and then look briefly at what we can do as individuals. Neither is intended here to be a complete list, but rather they're meant to provide a part of a foundation for understanding this particular issue. Now, the first misconception that far too many people have is that mental health problems don't affect them or that mental health issues simply aren't that common. Let's just look at the numbers on that. One in five American adults have experienced mental health issues. One in 10 young people experience a period of major depression. And every year, one in 25 Americans experience a serious mental health issue or illness that substantially interferes with their leading a normal or typical life. Now, given those numbers, even if you personally don't have any mental health issues, it should be easy to see that someone you know does. Probably even someone that you're close to. We're all impacted in some way by it. And we all should be working toward a healthier and more helpful understanding of it. A few days before Mental Illness Awareness Week began, a movie, the biggest October opening ever, was released. It's the origin story of one of fiction's most epic ever supervillains, the Joker. Now, my wife and I absolutely love superhero stories. But I have to say, there's an element of the Joker movie that truly bothers me. You see, at the core of his violence is an intentionally nondescript mental disorder. And frankly, for such a well-written and such an incredibly complex villain, it's an overly simplistic crutch to explain his actions. It's also an all-too-common misconception of mental illness. See, the reality is that less than 5% of violent crimes in the U.S. are committed by people with major mental illnesses. And despite the news cycle's typical rush to bring up mental disorder if the mass shooter happens to be white, the reality is that people with disorders are much more likely to be the victims than the villains. As a minister, this misconception really bothers me. There are far too many people, when they find out that a friend or a family member has a mental health issue, who suggest that it all can be overcome with positive thought and prayer. Positive thought and prayer will no more make my major depressive disorder and my generalized anxiety disorder go away than visualizing biking and high-intensity workouts will make my belly go away. Positive thought and prayer certainly have been proven to be helpful tools in handling these disorders, but only when they're accompanied by proper treatment and therapy and prescribed medicines. That particular myth, it's related to the pull yourself up by the bootstraps myth. It seems to me that this understanding is related to our understanding of words like depression and anxiety. You see, we've all been depressed. We've all been anxious. And most of us have managed to work our way through it. Unfortunately, some of us then extend that kind of thinking to clinical depression and anxiety. Honestly, I almost wish that there were different words for this. I mean, I've been ridiculously anxious at certain times when I've been invited to give talks, but I worked my way through it, and by the time I start the talk, I'm in pretty good shape. But the anxiety that I experienced a few days ago that I just told you about over nothing, I can tell you that the only thing that got me through that was Xanax. It will take a great deal of education of the general public. But if we're going to lessen the stigma that surrounds mental health issues, we are going to have to learn that clinical health issues are very much different from our day-to-day emotional challenges. Which brings me to the final misconception that I'd like to address today. This one is mostly an unspoken misconception. And in part, I think that's probably because somewhere deep inside of us, we all know that our particular understanding just isn't true. It's the idea that people are faking it or doing it for attention. I can promise you that no one who has ever had a clinically diagnosed mental illness has ever thought those words, more or less spoken them out loud. It is this simple. No one would choose to have a mental illness. They can be completely debilitating. And as we've already mentioned, society still places a great deal of stigma on it. If you could choose to not have it, you would. And I speak of that from experience. Speaking of speaking from experience, I have something to say to the folks who want to help, who they say, I am going to help you figure out how to come over this. What I'd like to say to them is, you cannot fix me. You cannot fix me. I know that it comes from a place of love and concern. And I know that you feel somewhat helpless and confused about what to do. And frankly, it makes total sense to me that it seems natural to suggest things that you think could help. But don't. Don't. When the depression and the anxiety is at its worst, it's like being stuck outside in this massive, drenching rainstorm. It feels oppressive and somewhat hopeless. It seems like it's been going on forever and like it's never going to end. I don't need someone to tell me I should go find shelter. I don't need someone to tell me how they cope with storms. I don't need someone to point out that it's just a storm and will be over eventually. I need someone to sit with me in the storm. I need someone to say, here, let me hold the umbrella. It looks like not using... And what does holding the umbrella look like? Well, it looks like not using negatively charged words like crazy or psycho or insane or loony when people speak about mental health issues. When you use words like that, it not only intensifies the stigma, but it implies that the person is defined by their illness. One of the simplest ways of holding the umbrella is by intentionally speaking and acting in a way that helps preserve the personal dignity of a person with a mental disorder. Now, another way of helping is simply by learning everything you can about the disorder that someone has. Misunderstanding and a general lack of knowledge can quickly and easily lead to saying things and doing things that are less than helpful. The more you know, the more likely you are to empathize with their situation. Which also means that helping others understand their disorder, as well as the myths and stigmas surrounding mental health, can make a significant impact on the general health of their environment and society as well. So gently let them know that you're there for them. But don't push too much. Frequently, you just need to be quiet. Your quiet but steady presence will aid in weathering out the storm. And once the worst of the storm has passed, be an encouraging presence. Listen to them. Help in finding professional support. Or if they already have it, affirm them in the work that they are already doing. Mostly, just love them. Just love them. When the mental issues aren't overwhelming for them, help keep things normal. Treat them with love, respect, and encouragement. It's about the most helpful thing you can do for a person with mental health disorder. And for that matter, it turns out, treating all people with love, respect, and encouragement is the kind of thing that can make this world a healthier place for all of us. But this is a time where anyone who has thoughts about the topic or the talk, where you can share with your spiritual community or those who would like to share. Go.
Just to affirm one of the things Mark said, when I was graduating college, several of my friends had different mental difficulties going on. My best friend was just really severe, flipping out, and it didn't take long to realize that the best I could do for him was just to be there with him, be his friend, because I couldn't cure him, I couldn't heal him, but he just needed a friend.
Yeah, exactly. It's our nature to want to fix people. But we got to learn we can't, but we can be present. Yeah. Great. Thanks for sharing that. David.
Well, again, I thank you for sharing your message, and I think that it needs to be out because society still has this tremendous stigma.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm suspecting that if the more people understand about it, the higher your percentages of people who have these things will go.
I think you're right. The stigma certainly keeps a lot of people from going in and being diagnosed.
Right, because some of us may be old enough to remember there was a vice presidential candidate a number of years ago who admitted that he had been to a mental health professional. I can't remember the details, and boy, he was out of there.
Yep. Very quickly.
Yeah, so the message to everybody else was if you admit that you're receiving help, now if you receive help for what's called a physical ailment, I broke my arm or got the flu, no problem.
No big deal.
So.
Thank you, Mark. It's an important topic, and appreciate you sharing your story. It's difficult for most of us to understand the difference between normal kinds of anxiety and depression. And I think, this is a big topic for me because, as all of you know, I have a son who has struggled for many years with mental illness. That, like many things, if we speak up and make it known that it's a priority for us, the treatment and research, so that we can be much more effective in helping people
Absolutely. Not
suffer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, everyone. My name is Gracia. Mark, thank you for the message and for being so transparent. Appreciate that. And anytime I hear any talk about mental illness, so many things come to mind. The whole issue of sanism, but within sanism, there's racism within sanism.
Mm-hmm.
So if you all think this issue is huge within the black community, it's torpedo.
Mm-hmm.
Size. I can remember suffering from medical major depression, and one of my people that worked under me also suffering from major medical depression. And we worked at a company where we had company doctors, so we both went to the same doctor, the same diagnosis, completely different treatment plans. My white worker got, I think, 3 months vacation, and I got get your tail back to work. So the whole issue of sanism is huge, but the racism within sanism is even bigger. And the stigma within the black community with mental illness is even larger than you can imagine. So thank you for the message.
Thanks for adding that very important perspective, Gracia. Are there?
I'd like to say something about stigma also.
Yeah.
I think it's been especially difficult for women on many levels and many circumstances. I think with medications, alcohol, depression, anything, the hand that rocks the cradle is not supposed to be doing this, having these issues. And it's really held a lot of women back and kept them underground.
I'd say I completely agree. I'd also add that it plays right into the hands of misogynists who like to talk about crazy women and who can't control their emotions. It plays right into their hands to just use that diagnosis against women. So, I mean, it is
absolutely
a much more difficult issue.
I attempted to ask a doctor once for help, and he said, "Mrs. Jensen, we all get depressed from time to time." So at that point in time, which was many, many years ago, I went underground. I said, "I've got to do this myself. You know, I can't trust."
So that's what we got to work towards making sure it never happens.